What is similar between Michael Norris and Jesus' sacrifice? Let's look again at verse 12 through 14. John is writing and he says to us in chapter 15, "This is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." Eugene Peterson, in his book, The Jesus Way, says that there is what we call the truth of Jesus, when Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," but there is also the way of Jesus. We oftentimes like to focus on the truth of Jesus, but sometimes it's easy for us to overlook the way of Jesus. He doesn't just proclaim truth. He proclaims truth in a certain kind of way. We can see this when we contrast Christianity to other religions. For example, the Buddha sat under the tree. He had enlightenment while he sat under the tree meditating. He discovered the Four Noble Truths and began to share those Four Noble Truths, which are still part of Buddhism to this day. Muhammad was in a cave and received the Quran from the angel Gabriel over a period of 10 years and went forth to proclaim a message of submission to the will of Allah and to conquer those who opposed him. Jesus, on the other hand, died on a cross and laid down his life for his friends. He didn't just proclaim a message. He had a certain way of life, of laying down his life, something that neither the Buddha nor Muhammad did. They proclaimed a message, and they had a certain lifestyle, but it wasn't the way of Jesus. It wasn't Jesus's way. This would be like Michael Thornton learning Navy SEAL doctrine, but not implementing the Navy SEAL way. He didn't just learn military doctrine. He learned the Navy SEAL way. He laid down his life for his friends. So in a similar way, you and I as Christians don't just memorize the creeds and memorize the liturgy. We don't just learn the Jesus truth. We also learn the Jesus way. The Jesus way is to consider others better than ourselves, as the book of Philippians says, to forgive our enemies, as Jesus teaches in the Sermon on the Mount and the Lord's Prayer, to not just care for ourselves and those who love us, but to love those who can't love us in return, as Jesus says again in the Sermon on the Mount. These are all part of the Jesus way, the way of not just believing the truth, but of laying down our life. So in this way, we could say that Michael Thornton and Jesus' sacrifice are similar. They both learned the doctrine. They knew the truth. They memorized the truth. Jesus was the truth. But they also had a way about them. They had a way of sacrifice, of laying down their life for their friends. These two things they hold in common. And how is the story of Jesus different than the story of Michael Thornton? Listen now again to chapter 15, verse 15 through 17. John, again writing, says, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You do not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in the Father, ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." There's at least three ways that Jesus' sacrifice is different than Michael Thornton's sacrifice. The first way is this: Jesus didn't just die for his friends, he also died for his enemies. Listen to how Paul puts this in Romans chapter 5. Meditating on this exact theme, perhaps this exact verse, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Rome, quote, "You see, at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." That's us. Christ died for the ungodly. Later on, it says he died for his enemies. That was us. Then he goes on to say, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God," here's the difference, But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, while we were enemies of the cross of Christ, Paul says elsewhere, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8. The equivalent to the story of Michael Thorne, if we were to parallel it again to Jesus, would be this. Michael Thorne runs into enemy fire, saves his superior commander, Thomas Norris, and then he goes on to save every single North Vietnamese soldier that's firing at him. Saves all 150 of them, or however many it was, even while they're shooting at him. That's what Jesus did. That's how Jesus' sacrifice is different than Michael Thornton's sacrifice. Jesus saves not just his friends, he saves his enemies. Second way Jesus' sacrifice is different is this. Jesus doesn't just save his enemies, he also transforms them. He teaches them how to love one another. We're about to finish our 12th membership class today with a class of 8, meeting at the rectory each Sunday after church. And as we've been going through the membership class and reflecting on what is it that's drawn us towards the Anglican Church, I reflected on my own journey into the Anglican Church, which started 20 years ago, the Episcopal Church even before that, but 20 years ago at Emmanuel Anglican Church in Destin, Florida. It was the same journey that you all were going through in a parallel time in a different place. And that journey involved leaving buildings and property and money and comfort and stability and going to worship in a community center, the Destin Community Center, for 5 whole years while we saved up money to build a building. I was just there for 2 years, but I got to witness grandmas and grandpas and parents and grandchildren on this journey. They literally walked through town carrying the processional cross from the community center all the way down Highway 98 to the new building once it was constructed. What was beautiful about that to you, and what was beautiful about that to me? It was a story of sacrifice. Even before I met you all, even before I met them, I heard the story of sacrifice, and I said, there's something different about these people. They smell like Jesus. They smell like somebody who's willing to make a sacrifice, to lay down their life the same way that Jesus is willing to make a sacrifice. And so, Jesus not only saves his enemies, he transforms them, and he teaches us to lay down our lives for one another in love and service and sacrifice for the sake of the gospel. Third way that Jesus' sacrifice is different than Michael Thornton's is this. Michael Thornton saved 2 people. A South Vietnamese commando, part of the team, and his superior commander, Thomas Norris. Jesus doesn't just save 1 or 2 people, but he saves all people who repent and believe the gospel. I think on my hands now, I've counted that we have 5 new parents in the congregation as we speak. 5 new parents who have either recently had a child or who are about to have a child in the near future. That would be Preston, Benji, and then we have Garrett and Andrea's child on the way, Matt and Hannah's child on the way, and Taylor and Andrea Weiss's child on the way. 5 children in the being birthed or have been birthed in the church. 2 of them are about to be baptized in the near future. If you are a parent, or maybe you witnessed your own parents growing up, you have that first child, you think, oh my goodness, my life's about to change. How am I going to be able to take care of this? You know, as a new dad, I'm almost scared to hold the new baby, Carissa. Maybe I'll break her. Maybe I'll drop her. Am I going to be able to do this? Do I have the stuff? Am I going to be able to cut it? And then maybe you had a second child. Oh my goodness, how am I going to be able to have 2 children? Do I have the bandwidth? Do I have the capacity for this? And yet God stretches your heart to take care of 2 children if you've had that gift. But brothers and sisters, God the Father hasn't just had 1 child, doesn't just have the capacity for 1 child to save 1 child, doesn't just have the capacity to have 2 children. He's on the billionth, the second 200 billionth, the 300 billionth. Throughout history, all who have repented and trust Jesus, the capacity of salvation, the capacity of care, the capacity of love that our Heavenly Father has through sending His Son, Jesus Christ, is beyond anything you or I or any Navy SEAL has even conceived of accomplishing. that level of love to knit together the body of Christ throughout the world. So in these three ways, Jesus' sacrifice is far greater, far more incredible, and far superior. He saves not only his friends, but his enemies. He not only saves his enemies, but he transforms them to sacrifice for one another and for the world, for the life of the world. The apostles all died unnatural deaths of sacrifice, except for John, who died in exile on Patmos of old age. And third, Jesus not only sacrifices and saves one or two, he sacrifices and saves the billions. What an amazing sacrifice. So what kind of community does Jesus' sacrifice of love for his friends create? We'll finish with these couple verses from chapter 15, verse 9. John says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." This word abide occurs over and over and over again in John chapter 15. The branches abide in the vine, abide in my love. That your fruit may abide, that your fruit may remain. This word abide means to sit, to rest, to dwell in Jesus' love. Abide in my love. We had a visitor last Sunday. I love hearing the first impressions of visitors. She watched this building go up. She remembers this building when it did not exist. She shared with Vance and I after the service that there was a rumor in the community about this building. The rumor was, the building is going to blow away. It's a tent. It's going to get windy. The building is going to blow away. It won't exist anymore. And she told us, you can ask Vance when he comes back from vacation next week. She said to all her friends, "That's not true. That building is not going to blow away. It will be there forever." She believed this and told her friends this 16 years ago when this building went up. The building will not blow away. It's going to be there forever. She stepped foot in the building for the first time last Sunday and worshiped here after the death of her husband. She wanted to see people whose fruit remained, who remain and abide in Jesus' love. She wanted to see those people. She'd seen the building and it hadn't blown away. She wanted to see if the love of Christ remained and abided in that place. And so as we reflect on John 15 and Jesus' love for us, to love us so much that he laid down his life for us and called us his friends, converted us from enemies to friends, taught us to be friends of one another and to sacrifice for one another. I'm going to finish with an exercise that we did with our youth this past Sunday. We meet at the Vices House at 5 p.m. for youth, and we did a little prayer exercise at the end of youth group that I learned from a friend. The prayer exercise is this. It's an exercise with our hands. So that exercise starts off by just holding your hands face down. I'll explain the exercise and then we'll do it briefly together. And as we hold our hands face down in silence, we release to God all that needs to be released, all that needs to be let go of, all that we've held on to that we shouldn't be held on to, all that needs to be forgiven, all the ways that we've tried to make God do our kingdom instead of his kingdom, or held grudges or whatever. We just release it. And then in the second part of the exercise, we turn over our hands and we receive from God all that he desires to give us. I want my joy to be in you and for your joy to, my joy to remain in you, Jesus says here. His joy, his love, his friendship, whatever, his healing, his forgiveness. We receive from God whatever he desires to give us. So I'm going to invite you to do this same exercise. We'll do it in silence again, but let's just, if you would, take your hands and turn them face down to symbolically represent whatever you need to release to the cross of Christ above let's just release to the Lord all that is not from Him, all that is of the world, the flesh, or the devil, and needs to be released. Let's do that in silence now. Now, if you would flip your hands over and open your palms to symbolically receive whatever the Lord wants to give us by the Holy Spirit, maybe forgiveness, maybe peace, maybe wisdom, maybe just an assurance that God is with us. He said He wasn't going to forsake us, and He hasn't. Just in silence now, open our hearts and our hands to receive from the Lord whatever He knows that we need. Holy Father, Your word says that where two or three are gathered in Your name, there You are in the midst of them, and whatever is bound on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever is loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. And so we pray that You would put the seal of Your blood, Lord Jesus, of Your Holy Spirit on these prayers, that whatever has been loosed and released by turning our hands over, that it would be loosed and released, and whatever gifts and freedoms and joys and gifts of righteousness and fullness have been placed in our hands and our hearts by Your presence and Your Spirit. We pray these things would be bound to us, that they would be sealed to us, and that You would confirm and strengthen us in all goodness as we pray through the prayers that we've lifted up to You and the things that we've received from You during this time. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand with me together as we confess our faith?